Military discipline, perseverance, and courage can translate to our spiritual lives, but life in the military also presents serious challenges to people of faith. I'm Brian Patrick, and we're looking at the Christian life in the military with retired Marine Chris Peterson, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our special show on the Christian life in the military. Let's meet our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck is Vice President of Renewal Ministries. Curtis Martin founded and is now President of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And you, of course, remember the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. We are dedicating this show to members of the military, those serving now and those who have served their country, especially those of you who are watching on American Forces Network, the Christian life in the military. Let's go to the Bible, yeah. Scripture. Where
certainly
do we see the military?
We're grateful for our brothers and sisters or men and women who are serving in our military, but there's two figures in the New Testament that stick out. One is Cornelius. Remember in the Acts of the Apostles, it was Cornelius' household that Peter came to in the Holy Spirit. That's the first group of Gentiles that the Holy Spirit came upon. Here's what it says about Cornelius. He was a devout man who feared God with his whole household. He gave alms liberally, and he prayed constantly to God. And then there was the centurion who came to Jesus and wanted to have his slave girl healed. And then Jesus said, I'm not worthy that you'd come to my house, but I know this. If I'm a man under authority, I'm a man under obedience, and people who are under me, if I tell them to do something, they're going to do it. So all you have to do is say it, it'll be done. And then Jesus says, it says here, Jesus marveled at this man. He said, boy, if I could find that kind of faith and confidence in my authority among my people, it'd be great. So he was a man under authority. He understood it. And he said, when a man has an authority, you can trust his ability to execute what needs to happen.
You know, the military plays such an important role in our culture. You have to recognize. That's why this show is so important, because to be serving in the military is vitally important. But to do so well is really critical. When I met Pope John Paul II at the beginning of FOCUS's very origins, we met, and I said, could you give us any words of encouragement for young people? And he said two words to me, be soldiers. So we've always had this deep sense, what does it mean to be part of the church militant? We're going to talk about what it means to be in the military. I'm excited about this topic.
We're also, hopefully, we're going to show where in one profession you can take the qualities and the leadership abilities that you gain from that profession and carry it on into your real life, whatever life you're living once you retire from a profession.
Absolutely. Great.
Yeah, well, here's some firsthand experience of that with former Marine Chris Peterson. He'll be joining me for the game plan next here on Crossing the Goal. Curtis and Peter, let me in the game plan, but I've got a special guest to share with you as we talk about the Christian life in the military. I'm Brian Patrick. I'm joined by Chris Peterson, a retired Marine Corps officer. Chris, welcome to Crossing the Goal.
Thank you, Brian.
Good to have you with us. Man, that's a good grip you got there. Tell us a little bit about you and your Marine Corps career.
I enlisted in the Marine Corps. I was a little bit older than your average guy that came in. Most people come in 17, 18, 19 years old. I was actually 21. When I came into the Marine Corps in 87, enlisted, went to San Diego, actually, West Coast Marine. Was enlisted Marine for 12 years, became an officer, became a chief officer, and finished my career after 20 years as a CWO4.
The Marine Corps is well known for its discipline, its training. The things that you learn as a Marine, how can they be used to enhance your faith or lead you away?
The Marine Corps is beautiful, and all the services are, that they take young men and women and teach them how great this person, this being that God created is. They push you beyond all the limits that you ever thought you had. and teach you that you can do things that most people would even consider impossible. And that's beautiful in our faith life, because you come to understand in faith that that's how God created us and what He intended us to be. But also, if there is no faith life, if there is no belief, if there's no direction towards the good, that could be used for your own personal gains in many ways.
So the persona, though, of the young, tough Marine is usually a bit of a wild guy with a tendency to party. Was that an experience for you?
Very much so. I was at a time young in my life where many people are, where they're searching for themselves, but they're searching for that fulfillment, and they're trying to find that in any way they can. And it's real easy to take all the things that the Marine Corps teaches you, how powerful and how good you are, at all many different things, and take that out in town and take it to the bar and take it drinking and chasing women and all these things. That is the persona of the young Marine or young soldier. Not saying that everybody in the Marine Corps or in the armed services does that, but a fair percentage does. And it's that searching for that fulfillment that's beyond just who you are as a service member.
We'll talk more about your personal journey from that place to where you are now when we get in the red zone with Curtis and Peter and Coach Danny. But I wanted to talk about a few of the things that you gained in the service of our country that you feel are really a part of your faith journey today.
The biggest thing that I think the service teaches young men and women is obedience, because so many people today have a problem being obedient, whether it's being obedient to their parents, being obedient to authority. There is such a sense today that nobody wants to follow anybody's guidance or direction. And in the military, you absolutely positively have to be obedient. And you learn very quickly that there's a consequence of not being obedient.
Even as an officer, when you are leading, you're always obedient to someone above
you. Yes, sir, very much so. There is always someone you're obedient to. And if we look at it in our faith, we realize the best leader that ever walked the face of this earth was Jesus Christ. And He was completely and totally obedient to His Father. So His power as a leader came from His obedience as a follower of His Father.
And courageous as He went to the cross, because it was His Father's will. Courage has to be certainly one of those attributes.
Very much so. Courage to step forward. And courage doesn't mean lack of fear. So many people think, oh, he's courageous, he never feels fear. But it's just the opposite. You feel every bit of the fear, but courage is the willingness to make the decision to step forward, regardless of the fear. I know the bullets are flying, I know things are going bad, but I've got to move forward. And that really creates a decisiveness that you learn not just to feel the fear and be frozen and not do anything, but to make a decision and move forward. And they teach you, don't sit still, keep moving forward, keep moving, keep going. That perseverance that goes along with courage.
Perseverance is really the other thing we want to focus on a little bit, in terms of you just have to keep grinding it out sometimes, don't you? Especially
yes.
In a battlefield situation.
Very much so. You can't sit back on your laurels. You can't wait for the other person to make the move. You've got to observe and find out what is the next right thing to do, and then make a decisive decision and move forward. And it's the person in leadership that can make that decision, whether that leadership is personal leadership or leadership of a group. A Marine, you're on patrol, you've got a platoon, you've got to make the decision and move forward. And that's the only way you're going to succeed.
But you also saw a downside of the military, where some of the guys that you know made the Marine Corps their whole life. There was nothing else.
There's a lot of neat things about the Marine Corps. They teach you honor, courage, commitment. And to many young men who come in, they're searching for a meaning in their life, and the Marine Corps becomes that meaning. And it's a beautiful thing, because it raises them up to be something that they never were. But unfortunately, that becomes the end unto itself. And later on in my career, I came to see many Marines that I knew personally, at least a good handful, that when the Marine Corps shook their hand and said, 30 years, thank you very much for your service, it's time for you to go home. They would go home and take off their boots, and within 6 months they were gone. They literally passed away.
That, of course, was not your story.
No, sir.
You have gone on to bigger and better things, and we're going to explore much more of that in the Red Zone. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Not a problem.
We're all down in the Red Zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
We've got some extra help in our red zone with Chris Peterson, former Marine, and Danny Abramowitz actually brought Chris here. You guys are good friends, aren't you?
We are. I felt sorry for him. I saw his arms were like small and he looked anemic. I said, let me try to build this guy up a little bit.
Nice job. You turned into Popeye.
You've done very well.
I hope I did all right. Did I do a good
thank enough? You, Danny. I told him it looks like Buzz Lightyear to me. I appreciate it.
I met Chris at a prayer meeting in Steubenville, Ohio. And immediately took a liking to him. And once I heard him speak in the military life about the Marines and stuff, I knew he had leadership qualities. So, I says, I don't want to be the leader of this thing any longer. So I called Chris.
Designated.
Up, yeah. And sort of took him to lunch one day. And we talked about it and says, guess what? Why don't you do this? I think you can do it. And he not only said yes, he's done a tremendous job with it.
Thank How's you. That men's group going?
It's going well. It's going well. We've been going on 5 years this year. We average 10, 12 guys Saturday morning. It's bright and early. It's 7:30 in the morning, so a guy's got to be dedicated to get up on his day off that early and come in and spend some time in fellowship and coming together to praise the Lord.
Chris, what is some of the benefits that you learned from the Marine Corps that you've taken out into your spiritual life and brought it into that?
So it's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because in the military service, you learn some very basic tenets that are very important to be successful in the Marines. One is constancy, being consistent in everything you do. You have to be to work at time on time. You have to dress appropriately. You have to obey and follow orders. You have to be physically fit, so you have to stay physically fit. You have to be consistent in your workouts. You have to run. You have to work out. And the same thing applies. The parallel is beautiful because it applies to your spiritual life. If I don't work out daily, if I just try to work out once a month or once a year, I'm not in shape. If I only go to Mass once a month or once a year, Christmas and Easter, a couple times a year, I can't assume that I'm going to have any kind of relationship with our Lord. So in the manner of which I work out, my natural body, my flesh, reflects that. In the manner in which I engage the Lord through prayer, through the Eucharist, Eucharistic adoration, going to Mass, reflects in my relationship with the Lord. And the decisiveness not to be afraid to just do what needs to be done. Again, it's so easy for so many people to sit back and say, oh no, what should I do? Oh, am I going to offend somebody? Not that I want to offend anybody, but if I know what needs to be done, then just step forward and do it.
Amen to that.
That's a great indication. I mean, I think that obviously we need to be very, very grateful to our military men and women, and it's just amazing. But there are also critics who sit back and say, well, wait, you're trained for violence, and violence isn't a good thing. I mean, how would you respond to that?
We are trained for violence. But I've never looked at the military service as a aggressive, okay, we're going to train you to go out and invade and take over someplace. The primary purpose that I joined the Marine Corps and many servicemen joined the Marine Corps for is we see ourselves as a protector. We see ourselves as that individual who's willing to put his life on the line for those he wants and loves and wants to protect. Yeah. I want to stand in front of the fire, in front of my wife, in front of my children, in front of my family, and protect them. And I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to plug that gap.
See, this is a very, I think, a pivotal moment to understand really why we want to have this conversation, because while this is certainly true in the military, it's also true in our faith life, but if we don't believe that there are enemies who actually want to harm us, then we think this is an unnecessary need. What we have to do is wake up and realize there are physical enemies that want to harm us as Americans, and we need the military to support that, and there are spiritual enemies who want to harm us, and that's why we need men to step up and say, I will be a man of God. I will defend those I love. I will stand up for truth and honor and goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. We could use some of that in the church right now. I'm going to stand up for what the church believes in. You know what I mean? I'm going to take the hits. I'm going to have the courage to stand against some of the forces that are coming against the church. And I think there's been a lot of passivity, a lack of kind of that courage and that strength to stand up and defend. And you're saying the kind of things you learned there that were trained in you really do parallel, and they actually work well in the spiritual realm as well.
Extremely well. And unfortunately, it took me many years to get to the point where I realized that in as much as I was willing to stand in the void in the military, I had to ask myself the question, am I willing to stand in the same void for my family in the spiritual life? Am I willing to say, what comes into my household? Do I stand in front of the magazines, the TV shows? Do I put a stop to that? Mm-hmm. Do I say this, my family and the sanctity of my family is more important, and stand up and be that man that God has called me to be?
Chris, yeah. I'm a bit curious about your personal life. You talked about how, you know, that persona of the Marine, that you were part of that whole scene. What happened in your life that brought you closer to the Lord and on the path you're on today?
The Lord, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, looked into my life just like He does all of ours. And He put someone in my life that truly changed my life. He understood who I was as a man that wants to protect, that wants to nurture, that wants to love. And He put a young lady in my life, my wife of 20 years, Dee. And we met and we started dating, and she was raised without any faith whatsoever. And I was not living my faith at the time, 20 some years ago. But she came to me with a thirst and a desire to know. And in my love of her, I could not refuse to answer those questions.
She wanted to know about Catholicism.
She wanted to know, she asked if we could go to church. And she asked me why I wasn't going to church. Some of those tough questions that the women we love can ask us.
Yeah. Thank God.
And, amen. Amen. And so we went to Mass, and she asked me about our faith. And I could not just placate her with simple answers. And God knew that if He put someone in my life that was special and sweet, that I would do everything I could to take care of her. And in doing that, led her into the church and led me back to the church.
She asked you a beautiful question. Yes, one of the first times you took her to church. What did she ask you?
We slid into the pew and knelt down and got ready for Mass. And Father was in the back, all lined up with all the altar servers. And she leaned over and said, can I ask questions? And I'm like, thinking, okay, sure, you can ask questions. And she looked real intently at the front of the church, and she pointed and she said, who's the man on the cross, and what'd he do to get there?
That'll get you thinking.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
that's Christianity right there. Yeah. Who's the man on the cross, and what did he do to get there?
You have to think that God was speaking to you directly through her.
Amen.
Yeah.
And in a instant, as the bells ring and Mass starts, and you're thinking, how do I answer that question? And that, for me, was the genesis of a life's journey of coming to understand that. At times, I think she's way beyond me in her spiritual life. She came into the church in the 90s, and it's been a true blessing.
And certainly in the military, I'm sure there are many temptations, many things that can sidetrack people from their faith journey. I guess we really need to lift up the members of our military forces.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do. I mean, the military, in a certain sense, I kind of like to tease, I mean, angels, when you look at angels, there's no such thing as a mediocre angel. Bad angels are really bad, and good angels are really good. And in a certain sense, because of the power of the military, it's the same way. And I think we want to both acknowledge and praise those military men and women who have done such an amazing job, but also challenge those who are struggling, because it's a tough culture out there.
Yeah.
And if you're allowing the culture to get the best of you, and you're using that strength to be self-absorbed and pursue passions, then it actually can be a very devastating thing. And at the same time, we really need to support our men and women, encourage them to use that strength for honor, for nobility, for goodness, because it becomes greatness when it's harnessed with the kind of strength that American military forces provide. It's an amazing power for good or for ill, if it's twisted.
Very much so.
Well, with that being said, why don't you lead us and all the people in the armed forces out here, American forces, armed forces, military. Let's lift them up in prayer, huh?
Amen.
Won't you?
Amen.
In the name of Father, Son,
Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dearest Lord, we want to take a moment and lift up the men and women in the military service, wherever they may be, past and present and future. and most especially those that are in harm's way at this time. Lord, reach down into their lives and help them see the men that you have created them to be, the men that you call them to be, willing to step in front of the fire to protect their brothers in arms, their families, and this country. Lord, for those who have been there and have come back, enter into their lives in a powerful way and allow them to find you as the healing surgeon that's willing to come in and heal those wounds in their lives left by war and death and destruction, and allow them to see the glorious blessing of you in their lives and the lives of their family. Lord, we call your blessing upon them, and we ask your blessed mother to shine her face down upon them and intercede on their behalf. And we lift them up to you in this time. As always, we admire and we pray for those men and women in military service. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for serving.
Thanks, Chris.
We pray especially for your daughter, who's active duty Marine.
Amen. She's a corporal in the Marine Corps. Extremely proud of my daughter.
All right. Chris Peterson, thanks. Thanks, Coach, for bringing them on over.
Good work. Great to see you again, Chris.
Yeah, good to see you. We have the last word from the end zone coming up next here on Crossing the Goal. End zone now, a final word on the Christian life in the military, starting with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. From the bottom of our hearts, we want to thank you for your service. We know that you're seeking a noble goal, and at the end of that noble goal, have someone to inspire you. Think about Cornelius, to be kind of a patron saint. He was a devout man who feared God, who cared for the poor, and he prayed constantly. That'll lead you to the goal that you have in your heart, to be a noble servant and soldier.
Great word. And again, thank you for those who are serving, and in a particular way for those who have served. We wouldn't be the nation we are without you, and we're grateful for that. You have an amazing opportunity to take a leadership in honor. The world right now is short on honor. Thank you for your willingness to allow Christ into your life so that you can be men and women of honor to lead us into our better days.
And I want to apologize for all of us here in America that maybe have let you people down who have served men and women in the armed services. We love you. We respect you. Don't ever think we don't. You are well thought of, and we love you. Hang in there, gang.
All right. Thanks, Coach Curtis and Peter. And thanks to the Armed Forces Network, the American Forces Network, for carrying the Crossing the Goal show to our armed forces who are serving their country. May God bless you and keep you. See you next time on Crossing the Goal.